welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, and I'm sure this will be familiar to many of you. This is when Mary is getting the message that she is about to bear a son. And the angel, this would be Gabriel, said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And still in the back of my head, when I finish reading this passage, I hear, "Now let us light the Annunciation candle." I grew up in a Lutheran tradition, and we did the Advent candles, and so this was our first one. It would be the Annunciation candle. We'd always read this passage of Scripture. But it is. It's the beautiful Annunciation of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming into this world. And and as we look at this passage, we see a few things that I've highlighted here. First of all, Mary asks a very good question. You know, how can I be bringing a child into the earth when I don't know a man? It's a natural, reasonable question. And the answer to this natural, reasonable question is a supernatural answer. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." So he's saying there's something supernatural. There's something powerful of the Spirit of God that is going to make this happen. Then he goes on to say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." In other words, this Christmas season kind of, you could say, gets kicked off with two very powerful truths. There is a power of the Holy Spirit that makes things happen that couldn't happen in the natural. Christmas, in other words, is a supernatural event. This is not a natural event. It's a supernatural event. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary in that supernatural conception that we have Jesus. And he went on to say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." So we see something that Christmas season is about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's about the ability for anything, all things, to be possible. In other words, we literally have to think outside the box. It's kind of our, what we would say in our culture, an idiom, but it just means that we've got to open up our heart and our mind. When the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, all things are possible. It's a powerful truth that kicks off the entire Christmas season. How can this be? The Holy Spirit is how this can be. Because with God, all things are possible. And I think sometimes we find in our culture, even this time of year, that things are different. Even in the culture that we live in, the world we live in, it's almost like there's this great collision between culture and Christianity, to where we're allowed for a few weeks out of the year, almost. Like, we're allowed to believe the impossible. There's a certain almost favor in the air that we experience this time of year. Even some of the hardenedest, natural, atheistic, non-believing people can have a certain sense of goodwill toward men in this limited time only frame that we experience in December. And Myanmar, right, where one day out of the year, it's illegal otherwise to preach Jesus, but one day out of the year, you can preach Jesus. Man, that's amazing. What makes stuff like that happen, you know? There's just something that allows us to, you know, this time of year, to be able to see some things, to appreciate some things. And a lot of times when you're talking about the world, and what I'm kind of referring to, I will say, in terms of culture, is the movies, the messaging that comes through on Christmas season. A lot of our favorite movies and things that we'll watch will have this message of childlike faith, and you got to believe, you know, you got to get past your natural, logical, adult, you know, thinking and be able to open up yourself and believe and think like a child and have the wonder and awe. Again, limited time only. But this time of year, we're afforded that. And a lot of times the reasoning behind that is the Christmas spirit. That's kind of the explanation for this supernatural thing, the Christmas spirit. And it's kind of brought out in different forms and different messages and stories. And I'm going to bring out some of that this morning. I'm going to bring out some of the ways they bring it out in some of our favorite movies, different things like that. But you'll see that real Christmas started with the Holy Spirit doing an amazing, miraculous work in Mary. Because of that, Him, the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. So this morning I want to look at the spirit of Christmas, which we know is the Holy Spirit, and which we know is the power of God. But this time of year, again, we are able to look at some things, and again, looking at some of the things the culture communicates and different ways they communicate, and seeing how it really collides beautifully with the Word of God and can be a wonderful pointer in a way that can encourage our faith this time of the year, because sometimes you hear that messaging, sometimes it's good to get into the Word and say, okay, what does that really mean? How does that translate to what we believe as believers, as Christians, and to be encouraged and to possibly use it too as a tool this time of year to encourage people, to point people to Jesus, you know, who might not seem that open otherwise. But I want to look at this morning the spirit of Christmas. What do we mean by Christmas spirit and how that works and flows in our lives? Because we want to have that wonder. We want to have that joy. We realize the Holy Spirit can do things that are impossible with man. And we're going to see it come back to the Word of God as we look at, again, some of these cultural norms. First of all, this time of year, we have permission to believe like a child, okay? It seems like there is a permission to believe like a child, and we look at what Jesus did with children in his heart toward the children. It says, then they brought little children to him, Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. I love that picture. You see, first of all, the disciples are all kind of uneasy and uncomfortable and rebuking people, bringing the little kids, like Jesus didn't have time for them. And Jesus says, nope, you got it exactly wrong. He said, it is all about the heart of a child. Unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will by no means enter it. That's strong language. Written in red, where Jesus is saying there's something about a heart of a human being that has to be humbled as a child to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, we watch a lot of different ones throughout the years, throughout the season. And one of them was The Escape Clause. I think that was is that the Tim Allen one? And there's the guy, I think it was, the little boy is Charlie, I believe. And it's like, I don't know if it's his stepdad or somebody's trying to explain to him the impossibility of Santa Claus. And he's sitting there and he's saying, now, Charlie, how could one man go to all the houses in the earth, to all the families in the earth, Charlie, think of this, and give them a free gift? How could this be, Charlie? And then, you know, as it goes, I forgot what happens after that, but, you know, but in Charlie's heart, he believes it. He knows it. He sees it. What did Jesus say? He said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you got to have the heart like a child to do this. You got to believe something. You got to believe that one man in a day could go to every house in the earth and deliver a free gift. Therefore, as though through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. You're believing something. You're believing something that's supernatural. How can this be? The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this earth, and when he died on that cross, one man visited the whole earth in a day with the free gift of salvation. That is the essence of the message. That's the essence of the gospel, which the logical, natural mind could just tilt. How can you believe that? Again, the world's permission to believe, I will say this too, it's not only just a permission to believe, but it's almost like an exhortation to believe. It's a good exhortation. This time of year, what is it that we're believing? We're believing that one man hit every house in a day with the free gift. In fact, when God spoke to Abram, who's later called Abraham, and he told him to get out from this country, I'm going to give you a land. He said, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not just the Jewish families, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so we see that one of the things that we believe as believers, with permission to believe, we believe that. We believe that one man hit every house. And another thing, as you see the theme of this sometimes, is that ability to believe. And you've got to believe it before you can see it. Jesus, when he was, this is the Apostle Paul actually quoting the scriptures, he said, go to this people and say, because let me tell you what happened before this. Could you imagine this? The Apostle Paul is under house arrest, but he's permitted to have guests. He's permitted to have a congregation, people to hear him preach. So the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel. And this guy has been through it all. He's got the marks of the persecution. He's experienced things that are amazing. And he preaches the gospel, this message. And the scripture said, some believed and some believed not. You think, wow, if it's the Apostle Paul, everybody's going to believe. No. Some believed and some believed not. And then he responded this way. He said, go to this people, he's quoting the scripture, go to this people and say, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You know, many times when Jesus was preaching and ministering, he would just stop and say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we all know that they could hear what he was saying, but he was talking about a different kind of hearing. It was a hearing of the heart. In other words, you'd hear these words and it wouldn't just register as fairy tale. Okay, that's what you believe. No, you would hear those words and they would register as life, answers, different. It would register different. Another kind of movie along those lines, I think, that we watch this time of year is The Polar Express. It's the bells. And if you're not familiar with that, I mean, kind of the essence of it is, you know, it's, I think it was like at a Christmas morning. It's been a few years since I've seen this one, but it's like the bells, it seems like they're broken. But the fact of the matter is, the people who can hear the bells are the people who believe, all right? Now, the movie here is oriented around Santa Claus, but you take that concept and that same idea and you center it around the cross. Who can hear the bells? Jesus said, you're going to see, but you're going to hear, but hear not. You're not going to understand. You'll all hear the gospel, but like the Apostle Paul, he preached the gospel. Some believe, some believe not. Some could hear those bells, some didn't hear those bells. There was a simplicity, a childlike faith, a humility that says, yes, I need that. Yes, I need Jesus. You know, do you hear in your head or the noise that could have the objections? Yeah, but you choose to believe. And I think that's the way it was in that movie too. I think the young boy was saying, I believe. I believe. He chose to believe, and then he could hear the bell. And again, this time of year, you got permission to believe. You got permission to believe as a child. You can see, where does that come from? It comes from a heart hunger that's in this world to want to believe. This world, you'll say, has that void that wants to be filled. And you could try to fill it with different things or holiday seasons or figures and things like that. But I'll tell you who wants to fill that. Is the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. And so this time of year, yeah, we're challenged, you know, to believe. But I think this is good for us to kind of see some of these parallels and say, that's our faith. That's what we're doing. You know, the scripture says, whom having not seen, you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've perceived him by the Spirit of God. The scripture tells us this. This is the spirit of Christmas. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit of Christmas, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the first things, the spirit of Christmas, the season, Christmas season, reveals to us is that we have received the gift of salvation. That's the first thing he reveals to us. But he goes on, these words we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Like we said last week, the reason why you're smart about a lot of things is because you got the Holy Spirit in you. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you, there's a lot of things that you wouldn't see right now. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can see through things that the world can't see through because of the Holy Spirit in you. I love that contrast. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. The spiritual man does receive the things of the Spirit. And you can see what happens. There's a comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man is comparing natural with natural. The spiritual man is comparing spiritual with spiritual. The irony is that the natural man's reasoning capabilities might be 10 times better than the spiritual guy, but he's just working with stuff. He's just working with natural stuff. And no matter how good your reasoning ability is, no matter how intellectual you are, if that's all the pile you got to work with natural stuff, you're going to have missing links that you're going to feel that has got to be there somewhere and try to rationalize and connect dots. Because there's a whole pile of good stuff over there you're not allowed to touch. But when you get born of the Spirit, you have him that you might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You got more things that you can work with over here when you have the Holy Spirit. There is a cup. There is a forgiveness of sins. There is a peace with God. There is a strength of the Spirit of God. There is a Word of God. There is a truth that you're handling, that you're comparing. You can hear things that natural man can't hear. There's a humbling yourself. In other words, humbling myself as a little child started by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit that made possible my salvation. And I heard that, but it didn't stop there. I still have my ears open to the things that the Holy Spirit is showing me and teaching me. And there's a lot of missing links over there that are found here. There is grace here. There is purpose here. We are, I'm His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You ordained me to walk in. There's a plan for my life. I have significance for my Creator. I can hear that. Nonsense to this guy. Brilliant reasoner. But his box is lacking things. Man, as a child of God, I have permission to believe. I have permission to believe that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, that the old really has passed away, that all has become new. I've got, I'm working with things. I'm working with spiritual things. And this is what makes all the difference in the world. Permission to believe like a child. And it is amazing, too, how even when you're over here and you get it, you still have to stir yourself up in the spirit. What is it, the movie? The movie is Elf, right? Where Santa's sleigh can't ride because Christmas spirit is so low. So what do they got to do? They got to sing those songs. And they got to begin to stir up that Christmas spirit so Santa's sleigh can ride. Do we have to get filled with the Spirit? Do we have to stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit? It's not that our theology's changed, but we have permission to stir ourselves up in what we already know, that the things that are we know are true and we've learned, we get an experience and we get that a fresh revelation and experience that fresh joy and peace with God and that sense of His presence in our in His love in our lives. Man, that's the powerful thing right there. And so what are we doing? We're just stirring up the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Christmas, the things that cause us to see and know and appreciate all over again the things that God has given us. So we not only have what we're just calling permission to believe as a child, but the other thing that I want to talk about this morning is we have permission to hope. Permission to hope that things can change. I think that's another beautiful message that comes out this time of year. There's a permission to hope that things can change. And probably my favorite movie that I watch this time of year, we watch It's a Wonderful Life regularly as a family, and I love that. But I'll tell you another one that's right up there with me is A Christmas Carol. And I like the old 1938 version of it. It's kind of a nice, succinct, it's like an hour and 15 minutes. I can watch it pretty quick, and it's really well done too, I'm sure, for 1938. But what is it about the movie A Christmas Carol? You see a guy who starts out just hardcore, angry, bitter, you know, just hates life and people, and it's just like, wow, they just think, you think there's no hope for somebody like that. And, you know, through the movie, if you haven't seen it, he gets visited by the three ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and you could say that he has kind of an awakening in these dreams, that he's kind of going through these visitations through the night. And as he's going back in the past, it's a bit nostalgic. And he kind of remembers some good things, too, and some things that were sweet and that kind of rekindles some things in his heart, you know. And then as he looks at the present, all of a sudden he begins to see the present not just through his eyes, but he kind of goes third person. You know, when we're dealing with people, Matt, it's kind of like through our eyes, and we're dealing with people through our ego, through our past, through our hurt, through our world and all that. So we're kind of seeing through that lens. But to be pulled out of that lens and to see things played out in a person's life in a third person, it was like very different. You know, when he was present, he had a nephew who was engaged, and he says, oh, you're engaged, and why are you doing that? No, you fell in love, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, when he gets the angel of Christmas present, he gets pulled out of that, and he gets to see them together. He sees them hanging out. And the angel of Christmas present is a little trolling. He says, oh, their love isn't going to last. It isn't going to. He's like, no, it is. It's good. It's like he's seeing something from a completely different perspective. And it's like, yeah, this could be. And then he looks at the Christmas future. And it's like the trajectory of his life and where it's going. It's like, man, he realizes, I got to change. The trajectory of my life is bitter and harsh. And you know, as he wakes up from that third encounter, all of a sudden, he is just like, he's a different guy, and he says, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to show love and kindness and grace, and I'm going to make a difference. And just his heart is just outward and benevolent and like loving. It's like, Wow, and so by the end of this movie, it's like, it's just a changed life. And of course, it's Christmas is woven throughout the whole movie, but the power of that is you just see the ability of a life to change, that it could start out one way, and it could end up another way. Here we see, in this story, a guy named, we'll say Zacchaeus, Scrooge. We'll say he starts out as Scrooge. He's the tax collector. He's not liked. He's about as liked as Scrooge is liked. Zacchaeus, all right? Says he tried, this is Zacchaeus, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Jesus just invited himself over, didn't he? He really did. You know, in the movie Scrooge, if you look at that, that's what happened to Scrooge too. Scrooge wasn't asking for those visitations. Marley came to him and said, you're going to have them. You know, it was like an interruption. And so Jesus said, come down. I'm going to be a guest at your house today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. This isn't just your regular sinner. This is a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated anyone on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Wow. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. What a beautiful picture. A man who starts out one way and turns out another way. It's almost like if you ever saw that movie, A Christmas Carol, at the end, just the benevolent heart of Scrooge, who just wants to give. You see, this is like Zacchaeus. I'm going to give. I'm going to make it right. You can see his heart to want to make it right. And said, salvation has come to this house today. That's another beautiful thing of this time of year, that we have permission to hope that things can be different, that there can be change. In fact, my salvation, in part, is due to that. There was a guy named Nicky Cruz. And he started out as a gang member in the streets of New York, doing all kind of things, bad things with his gang and his turf and all that. Little skinny preacher named David Wilkerson comes onto his turf and just says, Jesus loves you, you know? And Nicky said, no, little preacher, I could cut you up into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson said, yes, and every piece would say, God loves you and I love you. And Nicky could not get that out of his heart. And he finally, because he was like the one person that wasn't afraid of him. He was supposed to be afraid of him. And but there was something about this little skinny preacher. And he'd had a service there on their, kind of their area there, and Nicky went forward. And here, David Wilkerson did something very clever. First of all, the Mamas were the most notorious gang. And so what he did is he told Nicky, he said, Nicky, now I'm going to have a service tonight. Nicky isn't saved. He said, and I'm going to have a collection, and I want you to take up the collection. You and your members to take up the collection for me. And it's like, well, gee, you're letting the fox guard the hen house here. What's going on? But it was the wisdom of the Lord. And Nicky knew that you're going to just trust us. You know, this is like what we do for a living, knock off people for money. To trust us with the offering. And he said, yeah, you know, he didn't have that discussion. I'm sure it was just in his heart, but he respected him and said, would you do that for me? And Nicky's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And of course, the gang members are thinking, oh, this is an easy gig, knockoff. But Nicky just took it seriously. Somebody trusted him, put a trust in him. And it was like that was also working on his heart. And they were not going to steal this. They were going to give it back to the preacher. And he was very clear because he was the leader of the gang. Said, we're doing this, and he gave it back. And then when he gave the invitation at the end, Nicky, that was just like all he could handle. He went forward and he received the Lord. And he was a different person. And the book, Run Baby Run, goes through that whole journey. But you see that process as he begins to go through and realize that God loves him and forgives him. And he's now all of a sudden he's seeing through things. As the gang member, he couldn't see through things. Now as a child of God, he could see through things that were playing him his whole life because he had the power of the Holy Spirit, a changed life that just made him completely different. And it continues to show his journey just as a believer and then his call to the ministry and to preach the gospel. And 1979, 1980, he came to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and he preached the gospel. And I went forward to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior because of a guy I read about whose life was completely changed by the power of God. There is something wonderful about this time of year. We have permission to believe that Scrooge can become a good person. Let's bring it down to us. Bring it down to our lives, our situations. You know, in a few weeks, we're getting ready to have New Year's. And what does that mean? New Year's resolutions. Seeing ourselves free and different, maybe free from some different things or just our lives being different, you know, something better about our lives. And so we're kind of gearing up for those New Year's resolutions. Well, the beautiful thing about realizing that we have permission to hope that things can change is to realize that we can change this time of year too. In other words, there's things about Ed House, Scrooge stuff about Ed House that doesn't have to stay Scrooge, that can grow, that can, you know, have more love of God, more grace. You know, I can change. I can be more free. You know, there's just things in my life that can continue to get better and better. And this is where we bring it back to the spirit of Christmas. And this is where we bring it back to our lives here too. The Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the Christmas spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But the fruit of the spirit, again, the Christmas spirit, it's love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So before we get over into the New Year's resolution stuff and things like that, because that's, again, what the world does, right? This isn't a Christian thing. The whole world recognizes New Year's resolutions. Things are going to be better this year. Things are going to be different this year. Things can change this year. As believers, we can experience that change too. But it's not the way the world does it. In other words, a lot of times we think of, yeah, if I just had self-control in this area, I'm going to be free. And so I'm going to make this promise of self-control, and I'm not going to break this promise, and I'm going to be free. Man, the thing that we realize as believers is that game doesn't work. It's not a matter of self. He doesn't say, I say then, walk in self-control, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't read that way. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You start with walking in the Spirit, and then you experience self-control. So it's different for us believers. So when we get this year, we go this year, there can be things that, again, parts of us, Scrooge things that we want to see off of us, maybe some areas of weakness or areas of, you know, that we just want to see strong and healthy and that in our lives. Yeah, we can have that experience. We can experience changed lives. We can experience that Zacchaeus, that Nikki Cruz, that different kind of things, changes in our lives, but it comes through the power of the Spirit of God. We recognize that permission to hope comes from the fact, what we were even talking about in communion this morning, when you're taking that cup and you're going before the throne of grace regarding that thing again, to be able to say, Jesus, you never missed it. This thing never got you. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, that Christmas Spirit of the Holy Ghost, has made me free from the law of sin and death, which includes this thing too. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. My resolution, my heart, is to walk in the Spirit, to be focused, to be centered on you, to live for you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. That is where my help comes from. That is where my strength comes from. And so, again, it's kind of the cart and the horse thing. We've got to realize, man, my life starts as a walk in the Spirit. It starts with walking with Him. And let me just put it this way, because sometimes I know we do a lot of different series on walking in the Spirit. That's a whole four-part series in of itself, what it means to walk in the Spirit. But let me give you the essence of it. Walking in the Spirit is a place. Walking in the Spirit is a place of fellowship with God. That's all it is. You're not perfect here. You still got weights and sins that so easily beset you. There's still stuff that you know that needs to come off. There's still questions that you don't have answers to. But it's a place of fellowship where you choose to go and you realize that your righteousness is a gift, His grace, His love, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to stay in this place, Lord, where I'm talking to You. And this is where I want to stay. This is where I want to live. You know, if you just stay in that place of walking in the Spirit, you just naturally cast down arguments and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When you're just staying in a place of prayer, it's just a place of continual prayer. It's just a place of continually being conscious, God's with me. He loves me. He's for me. I'm not trying to serve Him. It's a living presence of His relationship with me. And I'm telling you what, that's a place. And even as we're going into next year, and as we're looking toward next year, and the theme of the year, I'm telling you what, it's about a place in the Spirit. It's about a place in the Spirit that you can stay. And as you're living for God, you realize the power comes from the Spirit. As I stay here, the fruit is born. There's something that just happens as you stay there. You know, you can water, you can sow, you can read the Word, you can worship, you can do all those kind of things, you can sow to the Spirit, but it is God who gives the increase. And that's the most amazing supernatural thing about it. All I'm doing is just endeavoring is to stay in a place of fellowship and prayer with Him. And there's something that's produced. The Spirit of Christmas produces the love, the joy, the peace, that self-control. There's just something about the power of the Spirit of God that just does that work on the inside of me. And so what am I doing this Christmas season? I'm purposing. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Yeah, there's some Scrooge areas in me, but I'm not going to just live on top of that and just say, things can be different. Begin to see myself free in every area of my life. See myself in just complete peace in every area of my life, in grace in every area of my life, every area, to see that. All of us can experience that change. And again, it doesn't come through a promise. It comes through the power of the Spirit. With God, all things are possible, including that thing too. That's where I'm coming. I'm just saying, let it be, Lord, according to Your Word. Let it be to me according to what You have shown me in Your Word. Praise God. And finally, He's enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Christmas is, the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just that Spirit-focused, Spirit-centric, not law, not letter. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 7 that we are here to serve not in the oldness of the letter, but in a newness of spirit. The beautiful thing about the newness of spirit is you can't judge. When you get in the oldness of letter, you can judge. In the newness of spirit, you can't. There's one judge. There's one Lord. We're not called to judge each other. We get in that place of the Spirit. The Lord knows our heart. He knows where we're at. And you might look at somebody and think, well, I'm doing better than them. They may be doing better than you in a way that you don't understand based on some different things, that they're having to make some decisions in their heart. You can't just judge in the natural. It's a not an oldness of the letter. It's a newness of the Spirit. I'm telling you what, it's a safe place. It's a beautiful place. It's a place where you're talking to God. It's not about what you can get away with sin and all that. When you're playing all those games, you're not talking to God. You're trying to game the system. But when you're really talking to God, you're not trying to game the system. When you're talking to God, you get confronted. That's walking in the Spirit. That's all it is. You're just walking with Him. You're just talking with Him. This whole thing was about getting back what we lost in the garden. Walking in the Spirit. It's in that walk that the Spirit changes us. The fruit is born and things begin to change. So the spirit of Christmas. We get some cultural permission this time of year to do some things. And I think, again, it represents the heart and the hunger and the spiritual hunger in this world that is looking for something. We have permission to believe like a child, to believe that one man can go to every house in one day and deliver a free gift for all time. We believe that simple message, like a child, as Jesus said we needed to. And when we do that, we can hear those bells. We can hear that message. We can hear the sound of the gospel, that sound of the beautiful gospel. I'm so glad I can hear it. Praise God. Yes, then it's foolishness to the natural man. And as a spiritual man, I get it. In fact, we were there once ourselves. So it's not like we don't get it. But I'm so glad I get it. And I'm so glad that I can stir myself up in it too. Because like that Christmas spirit, it can get low or it can get high, you know, depending on whether I am stirring up that spirit of God. So sometimes I just got to stir it up. Permission to hope. Things can change. There might be some things about you think, oh, I'm just going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. Nope, there is no part of Scrooge that has to stay Scrooge. And this time of year, we can challenge ourselves to realize that even that part of me can be like a different person, can be just free in every area, in every way. Amen? Well, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit of Christmas. And we know how the world portrays it, and we see they're on the edge of something very profound that we experience, that we know firsthand, Father. And I just pray for each one here this morning that you just stir our hearts in these different areas, that we would get stirred up in your precious spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the spirit of Christmas. With that precious spirit, all things are possible. You have shown me, Lord, through your spirit, things that belong to me. Salvation belongs to me. I hear those bells. Jesus died for my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving yourself for me. I receive that Christmas gift, the gift of you. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for change. I have permission to hope. Things don't have to stay the same. Things can change. My life can change. My family can change. Things around me can change. From glory to glory. By your Spirit. Because through your Spirit, all things are possible. And I receive that this morning. For my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Let the spirit of Christmas, the Christmas spirit, just minister to your heart. And as you just see it played out in movies and different things like that, let it trigger some of this stuff. Let it trigger some of our scriptural perspective and realities that we can choose, and we can make some of these decisions that you see made in some of those movies. It's like, oh yeah, okay, come on, Ed. There's hope here. You know, there's strength here. So praise God. Amen.